to the podcast of Lifehouse Church Adelaide. We hope that this message inspires you. To find out more about our church, our locations, or our teams, head to lifehouse.global. Now, enjoy this message from one of our amazing team.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, hasn't the worship in this place just lifted, and it's just magnificent. I tell you what, I think Lifehouse Melbourne have got something to answer for now. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, look, I'm looking around the room and there's just a lot of faces here that I don't know. So first of all, can we just give them another round of applause? We're so thankful that you're here. And my desire, I would just love to meet you at the end of this meeting. I'd love to just shake your hand and find out where you've come from and who you are and what your story is. And it would just be great to do that. Wow, I'm really blown away. This is amazing. How many of you came to conference? I know there was a 53 of you or something. How good was conference? Seriously, it was just outstanding. And so we are really, really thrilled with what God has done inside of people. People are dreaming. People, God has been really speaking to people. And of course, it's coming around next year. Now, I just need to let you know quickly, because it ends today. Okay, what we decided to do is, you know, look, usually conference, because of all the things that it takes to put this thing on, is usually around the $140, right? But our team said, Pastor Richard, it'd be great if we could just really bless people, if we could just for at least a week. So today is the last day. It's $75 for the whole conference. Okay, if you're expecting it to be any cheaper than that, seriously, it's not, okay? Now, Lifehouse standard right across the world is if people can't get there for whatever reason, and financially you can't, that's not an excuse. We will always sponsor you to come. Okay, so we don't want anyone to not be at conference because they can't afford it. We will make sure you're going to be there, okay? But for those who can, we still want to bless you. So it ends today at 5 p.m., okay? And then it does switch over to the normal price, okay? So if you would love to be there, we would love you to be there. I just think God did something amazing. It was great to just walk around the foyer. Can I be really honest? Some of your faces, like you guys were saying hello to me, but I actually thought you were from Melbourne. So I'm really sorry if I didn't make a big deal, but your faces have become so familiar, I don't know where you're from these days. And so I'm walking through the foyer and I'm having this conversation, and then, yeah, like, and we're flying back, and I went, oh, you're from Adelaide, sorry, didn't know that. And we had this 15-minute long conversation. But it was just great. It just felt like one big family, didn't it? It was great, and we had the worship team sharing things, and guys were helping out in kids ministry. It was just amazing. Next year we have Pastor Mark Varughese, and it's in August, by the way, if you didn't know that. It's moved forward a couple of months, which is where we wanted it to be. We only did it in August because that was our anniversary as a church, so we did that a couple of years ago and just kept it. But ultimately we would have loved it to have been in August, so it's going to be in August now. That's good, hey? I'm getting text messages because your pastor, it must have torn it up over there. Like, I'm getting messages saying, who is this guy? You can stay in Adelaide. We'll keep this guy. They didn't say that. That would have really hurt, actually, if they had have said that. That would have really been a little bit painful. But apparently, he's over there tearing it up. And isn't that great? He is a great preacher. He is. We've just got to fire up this girl now. We've just got to get this girl to just, she's awesome. Now, listen, I am going to get into the word. And if you're new here today, oh, man, you've come on the right day. You've come on the right day. You're gonna have something to tell your friends about at the end of this service. I guarantee you're going to be saying, I heard something today. It's going to blow us all away. And it's really good stuff. But before we get there, we are launching another church in Hanover, Germany in 2 weeks' time. In 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks' time, we're planting another church. And if you're new to church life and you're thinking, what do you mean by that? We're starting a brand new church. This church one day did not exist. Two magnificent fellows with their families started this church, and today it is what it is. Lifehouse Church Melbourne at some stage didn't exist until Richard and Helen and a group of people started a church. So we got to keep starting churches, guys. Why? Because churches do close every day too. Right? And why? Because people get older or whatever it is, and you know, there is a cycle of life, and that's all fine as long as we keep planting churches. So we're about to plant a church in Hanover, Germany, and there would be five churches in a city of about 800,000 people like this. And how many of you know that? That's just not enough churches, right? And so we want to plant a church that will reach young people, that will get these guys off drugs and into the house of God and give them a hope and a purpose. And that's our dream. You know, it was just mentioned that we want to have more locations in Adelaide. Why? Because people who don't really know God aren't necessarily going to drive an hour to get to church, but they will drive 20 minutes. They'll drive 20 minutes to just check it out. Is that right? Think about when you first came to church. It was probably about 20 minutes away, right? So we want to plant churches all over Adelaide so that your friends don't need to drive more than 20 minutes to come and hear the gospel, right? So we imagine in a city of Adelaide, that would probably take about four more churches. Would that be about right? Four more churches around the city. And of course, there's other great churches as well, but we need more. And I've met some of the young people in this room, and they're going to be great church planters. I tell you right now, I prophesy that in Jesus' name. Yeah, come on, you even know who you are, and you're ducking for cover. Stop ducking for cover. It's going to be great. We're going to have a good time. All right, are we ready for the word? Yeah? Hey, listen, let me just warn you right up front. This is going to be a little bit spooky for some people. Who's up for spooky? Come on. Hey, boring old religion never helped anybody. Let's go for spooky sometimes. Come on, let's shake this thing up a little bit. Okay, Father, I pray in Jesus' name every heart would be touched, and please say something that will really matter to all of us. How many parents in the room have gone on the long distance drive to a holiday destination or something, and you're driving along and then the question comes out from the back seat? Does everyone know what the question is? Does anyone know? And if they said it once, it would be okay. If they said it twice, you'd even tolerate it. But for the 80th time, we haven't even left the driveway yet. We've got a five-hour drive ahead of us. How many times are they going to ask this question? And of course, you try and tell them, look, we're not quite there yet, but we're going to get there, and so forth and so on. Well, when it comes to what's going on in the world, guys, now, remember, if you're new here today, let me just alert you to what Christians believe, because the Bible teaches it, okay? We believe that Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin. We believe that he died. We believe he rose again. And we also believe he is coming back again, right? Now, the Bible teaches it. Now, listen, this is a worldwide teaching. It's not like, you know, this church has just made this stuff up. It's in the Bible. Jesus says he's coming back again. And that's why I'm saying it's a bit spooky, because I'm going to be really speaking into that today. Because the question that's coming out from Christians all over the world, and today I just want to go there with you guys. Is that okay? I haven't even done this in Melbourne yet, but I just thought I'm here now. So it's coming out here first. You know, the question is coming out is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is this it? Some of you would know what is going on in the Middle East right now. And listen, this is not a message to put fear into you. It's just to make you aware. Actually, it's meant to encourage you. Why? Because what you're going to discover by the end of this message is what Jesus said is true. What the Bible has to say is true. People may think it's outdated. How can it be? It is more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. The newspaper just tells you what happened yesterday or today. The Bible tells us what's going to happen tomorrow. How can it be irrelevant? How can it be outdated when it's telling you what's coming? If you could buy a newspaper that will tell you what's going to happen in a week's time, surely that would be pretty valuable. Well, that's what the Bible is. And so some of you are like, really? Well, let me just help you just a little. Can we go on a bit of a journey? You ready? Okay. You might want to take some photos, by the way. It's going to be up on the screen, which, by the way, you're getting a new one next week. It's going to be awesome. Okay. So some of you may have seen in social media or on YouTube, but there is a picture here. And if we can go with the first picture, guys. That there, guys, is called the River Euphrates. Anyone heard of the Euphrates River? Yeah. Right? Euphrates River, it talks about it in the book of Genesis, right? It's right there from the outset. And nowhere that I can find, maybe you can find it, but I've certainly done my research, nowhere, in no time in history has it ever dried up. It's just always flowed, and it has actually helped irrigate, you know, populations and lands for thousands of years, okay? Literally. And this thing is, it usually looks like that. Actually, even 3 years ago, it looked like that. But today as we speak, it looks like that. Look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not trying to make things up here today. I'm just giving you the facts, okay? That's how it looks, which is devastating to the people who use it for irrigation. You understand that, right? So we're going to be staring down the barrel of some famine soon, okay? Because people can't feed themselves. There's another picture here. You'll see, I mean, obviously people, I mean, look at those boats. They just, they were sitting on what was a very flourishing river. I don't know if there's another one there. No, that's it, I think. Okay, so some of you are like, oh, that's great. Thank you for showing us what a river is doing in the Middle East. Well, no, that's not my purpose here with you today. Because see, 2,000 years ago, an apostle called the Apostle John saw into the future. And he wrote a book called the Book of Revelation, which just simply means to reveal, for something to be revealed. So God revealed to him the future. And he was trying to come up with language that we would understand. But then he says this, and it's in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. I'm not trying to scare you today. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, young people, I'm not trying to scare you. Don't be full of anxiety now, because by the time you get to the end of this, you're going to go, woohoo, I'm so glad that I know what's going on, okay? Okay, so we just need to know what's going on. The Apostle John is telling us how it's all going to pan out toward the end, just before Jesus comes back. There's seven angels that pour out their bowl. They've all got these bowls and they pour them out. This is angel number six. And angel number six, it says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River and it dried up. Why did it dry up? So that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrances. Take a bit of a gulp now. Okay. What's going on? Well, apparently this river has dried up so that armies can cross it. Now, remember what's going on in the Middle East right now. Okay. And we just got to be aware that this was spoken about 2,000 years ago. Okay. Listen to what I'm saying. If I stood up here 20 years ago and talked about the great Euphrates River drying up, all of us would have gone, oh, Jesus, he's not coming back anytime soon then, because that thing is thick and flourishing and water is flowing. If I had stood up here 5 years ago, we would say the same thing. If I had stood up here 3.5 years ago, we would have said the same thing. Today, I can't say that. And what that tells me is the stopwatch has started. We are on. Okay, now, again, I'm going to say it over and over again. Don't be afraid, because our Savior, Jesus, told us it was going to happen. Now, if he's telling us it's going to happen, that means nothing is out of control. We are in the palm of his hands. You've got to remember that, okay? He's just alerting us to this. Now, some of you are thinking, how come I've never heard about this Jesus coming back again? I've heard about his birth, and I've heard about his resurrection. How come I haven't heard about his return? That's because we celebrate Christmas every year, and we remember the birth of Christ, don't we? And then, in the middle of the year, we celebrate Easter or thereabouts. We celebrate Easter. We remember his resurrection. We just don't have a day as Christians where we celebrate his return, where we remember the fact that he's coming back. The only thing we actually do is actually we have communion. Communion reminds us that Jesus is coming back, because the Bible says, do this until I return. So every time we're having communion, we're reminding ourselves. Now listen, so many of Jesus' parables, so many of them include the idea of a master going away and then coming back. Listen, if you read his parables now, you go, oh, it's so true. Not every one of them, but a lot of them are, the master goes away and then he comes back. He goes away and then he comes back. Why did Jesus include that every time? Because that's exactly what he's planning to do. He has gone away, but he's planning to come back for his people. It's powerful, guys. So do you know, now, some of us are holding a Bible in your hands. Most of us have it on our apps these days. But did you know what entitled some holy writings to be included in the Bible? Because there's obviously a lot of holy writings out there. But not all of them made it into what we call the canon of Scripture, which is the Bible that we read, right? What qualified writings to be in the Bible? Some of us may know this and some of you may not. Listen, let me tell you what qualified holy writings to make it. Does the writings talk about the return of Christ? That's usually the criteria. Does it talk about the return? I'm talking about New Testament, by the way. What qualifies a passage of scripture to be in the Bible? Does it talk about Christ and the return of Christ? Maybe some of you don't know this. There's over 200 verses in the New Testament about Jesus coming back. So it's not like some peripheral little side teaching. No, it's supposed to be central to our faith. And so what's my purpose here today? I just want to get you ready. Can I just get you ready? Can I just get you leaving this place saying, Lord, wow, but I'm ready. Because if Helen and Richard are the senior pastors of Lifehouse Global, I want to get to heaven one day and for Jesus to say, well done for getting my people ready. Yeah. Not why were they so ignorant? Why didn't they know the truth? I want to get your hearts ready. I want to get your lives ready. Are you with me? Is this okay? All right, so I know it's a bit confronting, but I just want to get you ready, guys. I just want to make sure you're aware. So what was Jesus' relationship with the end times? Well, first of all, he talked about the end a lot. It's not like just one or two scriptures. Actually, Matthew 24, verse 25, Jesus says, behold, I have told you in advance. Why? So that we can be encouraged. Do you know, every time you see scripture being fulfilled, prophecies being fulfilled, they're not supposed to frighten you. They're supposed to make you say, wow, God is real. Wow, this book called the Bible is not just some dusty piece of literature that I should keep. No, I'm supposed to read this thing because it's coming to pass, guys. It's supposed to make us think, wow, if this thing is that real, I want to know about it. Do you know, one of the criticisms that Jesus had toward the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, was that they couldn't identify him as the Messiah. They weren't able to see the signs. And I would say maybe sometimes the kingdom of God would say, guys, I know that we talk badly about the Pharisees sometimes and we sort of belittle them a little bit and we almost mock them. How did they not see Jesus coming? But I think maybe sometimes heaven would say that about the current church, where he would say, guys, how could you not see his return coming? We're all so busy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being busy, but we never take our eyes off the prize. Now, this isn't a message about go sell your house tomorrow and go live like a monk in some monastery. No. What this means is make sure our hearts are constantly ready. Amen. And the saying goes like this: we plan as if we've got 1,000 years, but we live like we've got one. Are you hearing me? So we plan, we buy houses, we study, we do all those things. But in your heart, you're ready to be taken at any time. And that's my desire today, that I wouldn't be pastoring a church that has totally lost sight of this. Amen. So listen, when it comes to Jesus, how many of us know he predicted his death? Did it happen? He predicted Judas betraying him. Did it happen? He predicted Peter's denial. Did it happen? Yeah. He predicted his resurrection. He predicted the destruction of Jerusalem. Now listen, some of you would know that Jesus cannot return until Israel becomes a nation. Now for those of you who are young, it's just always been there for you, right? But do we realize that Israel was not a nation for over 2,000 years? They weren't a nation. But yet, they have to become a nation because there needs to be a little bit of a war that goes on in Israel. But can you understand, if I was preaching this in 1932, in 1932 we'd be going, guys, Jesus can't come back until Israel becomes a nation. And so we would have been going, well, how's that ever going to happen? But in 1948, by the stroke of God, Israel becomes a nation. Literally because of the UK, because of Great Britain, and they become a nation. Now, however you feel about that, I don't know, but all I know is the Bible said it's going to happen, and it's happened. So as we speak, Israel is a nation. Now, the Bible says that the generation that sees that, now a generation in the Bible can be 40 years, or a lifespan could be 70 years. That's what King David said. King David said a lifespan is 70 years, 70. Score is 20, 70, 60, and 10 is 70. Jesus said, whoever sees this, get ready. Whoever sees this happen, that generation are going to see his return. Now, I'm not making dates. You'll never catch me making a clear date about anything. All I'm saying is, can we just be a little bit wise? Can we just be a little bit open to like, wow, Israel is a nation as we speak? Are you hearing me? And here's the prophecy. This is in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. It says, for the time is coming when I will restore the fortunes of my people in Israel and Judah. He says, I will bring them home to this land that I gave to their ancestors, and they will possess it again. I, the Lord, have spoken. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. In 1930, if we had been saying Israel's become a nation, we would have said, how? How is that ever going to happen? But it happened. Yeah. Just like if I was to say, guys, right now, there's going to be thunder, you know, in this room. And you guys are like, well, how are we going to hear thunder? Wow. Some of you are like, wow, that's pretty impossible. How did that happen? And then if I said, you know what, guys, I just believe it's just going to start raining chocolates. It's just going to start raining chocolates. You know, here we go. Yep, maybe further forward, guys. Further forward. These guys are starving down here, right? It's going to start raining chocolates. Look, I prophesied it. I prophesied it, and here it comes. Here come the chocolates. Wow. Man, I prophesied thunder, it happened. I prophesied chocolates falling, it happened. What if I prophesied that under one of your seats there's a $50 note? Under one of your seats is a $50 note. Okay. Now listen, some of you were still a little bit too cool to have a look under your seat. The majority of you looked under your seat. Did you find a $50 note? No, you didn't, because I was fully lying about that one. Okay? All right, and I'm allowed to, okay? The point is, listen, if I had have started with, guys, there's a $50 note under your seat, most of you wouldn't have had a look. You would have thought, oh, I don't think so. But because of my two other ridiculous predictions, it made you think, well, maybe there is something under my seat. Was that your thinking? Yep, okay. Because the thunder was pretty ridiculous, the chocolates was even worse. And then you're thinking, well, maybe there is a $50 note under my seat. Listen, a belief made you look under your seat. You did something because you believed something. Yeah. Do you hear me? You did something, you literally started looking under your seat, like as if you haven't seen $50 before. Some of you are like, this is why I came to church. I knew God was going to provide today. Okay, now listen. You know, there are multiple prophecies in the Bible, and they've come to pass, guys. Jesus said it, some prophet said it, it's happened. Jesus said it, some prophet said it, it's happened. Now listen, if we have already seen 390 prophecies fulfilled in this earth, I'm not going to take the time to show you all of them, what about the prophecy of Jesus coming back again? Why can't we believe, if we've already seen 390 of them fulfilled, then why is he going to fail us on the last one? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm just trying to strike some faith in your heart today. Come on, muster it up. He's coming back, guys. He's coming back, and he wants us to be fully, fully ready for him. You know, people have laughed at the Bible. They've mocked it. You know, the worldwide flood, as if there was a worldwide flood. Well, recently they've discovered seashells on the highest mountains of the world. How did that get there? And now science is going, well, maybe there may have been some sort of worldwide catastrophe. You know what? I'm not going to rely on science. I'm going to rely on my Bible, to be honest, because I find that science says something and then 3 years later they retract it anyway. So you know what? I don't put my faith in some white jacket guy in some labs. I mean, God bless him, but I'm going to go with the one who's sitting on a great white throne. That's the person I'm going to go with. Amen. Come on, someone, let's lift up our faith and believe what the Word of God says. Come on, let's turn our eyes to what Jesus has to say the end times will look like. Matthew chapter 24 verses 3-8. It's going to be on the screen. Are you with me? Is it up there? Come on, let's read together. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? So they're basically saying, what do the end times look like, right? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, church. Don't be deceived, right? He says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. He says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. In other versions, it says, all these things are the beginning of birth pains. Okay, you know, like when a woman's pregnant, she starts to have contractions. Is that right? And Jesus is saying, these are the contractions. Now listen, what are they again? False messiahs, rumors of war, famines, earthquakes, plagues. I want to focus on that word, because the word they've got here is called pestilence. Some of you are like, oh, pestilence, that means locusts. No, look it up. It literally means, look it up in your own Bible, look it up in the Greek. It literally means a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. Anyone heard of an infectious disease going on around the world lately? Come on, guys, let's wake up. But don't let this discourage you. I'm going to keep harping on this. Don't let it let it encourage you. Wow, the Word of God knows what it's talking about. Wow, God's already in our future, is what the Bible is saying. So COVID may have been a little bit of a shock to us, but it wasn't to the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So the question is, what else does he know that we don't even know yet? What's he telling us? What's he prophesying? Come on, guys, let's work this out. Now, I've got an image up here to show you how it works at the end of this period. Can we go to Bible college for a moment? Yeah, is that okay? If you're new here today, I told you, you came on a great day. How weird is this? Go tell your friends that you heard about the end times, and they're going to freak out with you and go, what did he say? Okay, here's the end times, guys. So there's the cross. Can you all see that? I don't want to get in anyone's way. There's the cross. Now listen, blue line are the Christians, the people who trust Jesus for their salvation, the people who trust what Jesus did on the cross. If you're that person, you're a blue line person. The black line are the people who just refuse to receive Jesus and what he did on the cross for them. They refuse to receive it. It's a free gift, but they go, I don't need it. I don't need God in my life. Well, then this is how it pans out then. If you're a blue line person, we're walking with Jesus, we're living for him, and the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians that Jesus is going to come and take us out of this world. It's called the rapture. Why is it called the rapture? It literally means to be caught up, to be taken out. So we get taken out. Now, why is that important? Why is that important? Because if you're a black line person, the Bible says that this world is going to go through a living hell. There's going to be trouble on this earth, and it's going to be bad. And that's why some Christians get nervous about this stuff. But I'm a firm believer that we're out of here. Why? Because God never pours out his wrath on his kids. When God wanted to destroy the earth with Noah and the flood, did God destroy Noah? No, they were in an ark. They were saved. And then the earth was destroyed. When God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, did he destroy all the righteous? No, the righteous got out first, and then all fire broke loose and fire and brimstone. Isn't that right? So why would God punish his kids? He doesn't punish his kids. We're out of here. Where are we going? We're going to what the Bible says is the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to party with Jesus. And you're not paying $220 a head for all of you getting married. I know what it's all worth these days, but you don't have to pay for this wedding. And we are the bride, and we get to be with Jesus. And then the saints and Jesus come back to the earth. That's just a very, very easy way to see it. Now, you may have a difference of opinion. Either way, Jesus is coming. That's all I'm trying to say, to be honest. You may have a differing opinion. That's okay. That's fine. But let me tell you what you don't want. And if you're new here today, please hear this with a heart that loves you, okay? If you're a black line person and one day you die through tragic circumstances or whether through natural causes, whatever it may be, but if you open your eyes one day and you see a great white throne, friend, you're in trouble. Because Christians don't go through to the great white throne. See, we already have the judgment seat of Christ. What's that mean? Our sins have been forgiven. And that's where we get rewarded for our life. But if you're a black line person, you go to the judgment seat of God, who's going to judge you for everything you've ever done that wasn't forgiven, because you wouldn't come to Jesus and get forgiven. to me, that just doesn't make sense. What have you got to lose to give your life to Jesus and say, I'll have my sins forgiven? Oh, because he's going to make me into a weird person. No, you're already a weird person. He's going to make me boring. Your life's pretty boring, to be honest, as it is. No, no, he wants to give you a rich and full and satisfying life. He wants to forgive you and give you a purpose and give you a hope and set you on the right path. Someone should be clapping about now because it's the truth. He wants to help your relationships. He wants you to become a forgiving person. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to be able to speak into your kids' lives and have some great answers for them. He wants you to be a person who's unselfish. Like, where, can someone show me the downside? Oh, people won't like you. Well, people don't like you anyway. Like, at least, you're hearing what I'm saying. Like, really, what have you got to lose other than your sins get forgiven and you get to be a blue line Christian? Now, by the way, you won't find that in the Bible, blue line Christian, right? It's just an illustration here. But my point is this. Friends, Christians, you don't need to fear anything in your future, because when you open your eyes, you're going to see the beautiful hands of Jesus bringing you in, his nail-scarred hands. You're going to have those hands bringing you. Regardless of how it happens, you're going home. But without Jesus, friends, it's scary. First of all, you've got to stay on the earth while all hell literally breaks loose on the earth. I don't want to be here for that. Is that okay? I'm a little bit of a wimp like that. I like the good life. I'm happy to skip all the nonsense and come back when it's all said and done. Anyone else with me? Yeah. Yep, okay, great. Great to see you all with me. Okay, can I give you some more scripture? And then is that okay? We've got a little bit more time. Here we go. Okay, Matthew, we're going to continue that same passage, Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. Are you learning something? Yes. Am I making you nervous? Yes. Great, if you're yes, then I've still got some more work to do. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. You will never catch anyone at Lifehouse Church giving you a day or an hour. Lots of people do. It's really evil to do that. Do not give a day or an hour. But we can see the signs, Jesus says, right? He says, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only know that time, he says. He says, but as the days of Noah were, watch this, as the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of before the flood, he says, watch this. So he's about to describe the days of Noah, right? I would have described the days of Noah as evil and selfish people who hated God, right? That's how I would have described Sodom and Gomorrah or the days of Noah. Is that right? Look how Jesus describes it. He says, for as in the days of Noah, where are we, right? He says, also with the coming of Son of Man, verse 38. He says, for as in the days before the flood, what were they doing? What were they doing? What were they doing? Oh, how evil's that? And what else were they doing? They were drinking. They were marrying. They were getting married. Like, how evil? Is that evil? No, it's not. They were just living a life without God. That's all. That's why he doesn't point out all the big evil things they were doing. What he was basically saying was, it was just an ordinary day. It was just an ordinary day. We've got to stop waiting for this world to get really evil and that's when Jesus comes back. No, 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 it's going to be an ordinary day, friends. But we're going to be ready. Are you with me? Right? He says, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now watch this. It says, two men will be in a field. So these people are working. One will be taken and the other one's left. Two people are in the same factory working. One person will be taken, the other one is left. How many of you know I'm not making this stuff up? Okay, great, good. It says two women will be working, they'll be grinding at the mill. One of them will be taken and the other one will be left. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Yeah. Okay, so I'm never going to know. No, you can know the signs of the times, you just don't know the hour. But you can know the signs of the times. And Lifehouse, friends, family, whoever you are, please be ready. Please be ready for it. What does that mean, Pastor Richard? It just simply means if you were to die today, have you forgiven the people you need to forgive? Are you doing the things that you thought you would be doing? Have you made the sacrifices that you wanted to make, but you thought, I'll do it at a later date? No, do it today. Do it today. Oh, there's conversations I need to have with people because I really want to get it right. Do it today. What are you waiting for? Oh, there's things that I really wanted to give. There's opportunities I really wanted to do for God. What are you waiting for? Do it today. Come on, that's what it means to be ready. That's what it means. Let's stop waiting. I really want to invite my neighbors to church one day. What are you waiting for? Oh, I'm waiting for the perfect time. Well, today's the perfect day. Just, are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, let's just be ready for it. Let's just be ready. And some of you are thinking, wow, when we get taken out of this world, like, what does the world say about that? What does the world say about all of us not being here anymore? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says something really important. It says, for this reason, is it up on the screen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? No? I'm going to read it to you then, so you need to listen. It says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Now, we don't know what this lie is, but there's going to be some lie that goes out around the earth as to what's happened to those who have been taken out. Now, some of you who grew up in the 70s, you know what I'm talking about today. You know, there were films called Left Behind and do you know there was a season there in America where they wouldn't put two Christian pilots flying the same plane? Like, that was a policy. It's gone now, but that was a policy at one point in time because, mate, if both Christians are gone, woohoo, there's a plane just flying in the air. I'm thinking, if you make a policy like that, how about you just give your life to Christ first? And you know, like, come on, if you're going to... So some of you are thinking, okay, so what's he really, really waiting for? Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I love this verse because I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus didn't come back in 1987. Why? Because I gave my life to Jesus in 1988. So I'm really thankful that he didn't come back 6 months before I gave my life to him. And the Bible makes it very clear. Watch this. Can we read it out together? I haven't made you do it all morning, but I'll get you to do it now. You ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Sorry, what promise is he talking about? The promise of him coming back, right? Let's keep going. As some understand slowness. So what's he waiting for? Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why is Jesus delaying? You know, I sort of get this picture of God the Father saying, Son, do you want to go back? Do you want to go and get your bride? Do you want to go back and get your church, Jesus? And I just see Jesus saying, Dad, not yet. Why, son? Because there's a girl called Susan, and I really just want her to give her life to me today. The Bible is making it pretty clear. The only reason he hasn't come back yet is not for your worship, because we're going to worship for all eternity. So it's not for our worship. He's not waiting for us to be really holy, because we get to spend all eternity in holiness. So what is God waiting for? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. And some of you are like, but I'm already a Christian. Yeah, no. He's waiting for you to have a heart for others. He's waiting for you. Thank God someone preached the gospel to me. I just went over to my friend's, it was like a $2 shop type of business. I just went over there to say hello, drop off some coffees to him. Thank God he opened his mouth and told me, did you know that God is real? I said, yeah, I'm Catholic and all that. He goes, no, because he wants a relationship with you. And I went, I've never heard of that. What does that mean? He wants to be with you every day of your life. I'd never heard that. And I gave my life to Jesus. Changed me completely. Still talking about it like it was last week. What's God waiting for? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Thank God we've got a Savior. Everyone's frustrated with him. All the Christians are like, come back. And he's like, have a heart for others, guys. There's more people from Adelaide, South Australia, that need to be saved first. But listen, it seems like time is running out. Now let me just switch back to this message again, just for a moment. And I'm not saying this to frighten you. I'm saying this to make you aware that God's in control. But biblically speaking, what is possibly going to happen next is if Iran get involved, then America get involved, which means China and Russia get involved. Friends, we've got World War III on our hands. Now listen, maybe I haven't made this very clear to you. When you read your Bible and you read about end times, it never talks about Australia or New Zealand or Papua New Guinea or France. It doesn't talk about those nations. It talks about Israel and those surrounding areas. So we don't need to worry about some war happening in Canada. We don't need to worry about that. That's got nothing to do with end times. But as soon as it starts happening over there, lift up your eyes, my friends. Lift up your eyes and start to get not just nervous, but start to go, okay, so where are we going? Don't get nervous. Just say to yourself, God, if this is it, I just want to tell you I'm ready. And I love people, and I love you, and I love your church, and I love worship, and I love everything about your salvation. And I just want to tell you, God, that you are my priority, because this stuff is real. It's not fantasy. It's not fantasy. We've got to stop that. It's more real than the newspaper you read tomorrow. I'm telling you, it's real. What else do we need to see? Well, Revelation chapter 14 and 15 and 16 talk about some mark of the beast. Has anyone heard about the mark of the beast? Yeah, there's going to be some type of mark, it says, that you can't buy or sell unless you take the mark. That was written 2,000 years ago. If I had been standing here 100 years ago and said, guys, there's going to be some system where you can't buy or sell without some sort of mark, all of us would have said, oh, I wonder what that's going to be. I just read on Channel 9 News that Australia will be cashless by 2030. You can't buy or sell without some type of technology in your hand. And the Bible talked about that 2,000 years ago. Friends, it's all heating up. We're getting there. There's nothing that you read that you would go, oh, I can't see how that's going to happen. I read it and I go, I can see exactly how that's going to happen. The only thing I would have thought is, what about the great river Euphrates? Lord, you must be so far away. In 3 years, it's gone. Almost gone. It's pretty much gone. There's no coming back for it. What are you going to do? All I want to do is make you aware. That's all I'm trying to do today. I just want you to go, Jesus, I'm ready.
Thank you so much for tuning in to that amazing message from our team here at Lifehouse Church in Adelaide. To find out more or to submit a prayer request or connect with us as a church, simply head to lifehouse.global. God bless.